morning. How are we all today? We good? Man, I'm stoked to be at Huntington Beach. You guys are the best. Hey, can we pray? Because I really believe that prayer does change things. Let's pray. Lord God, this is your room. This is your space. And we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would lead and guide us. We ask, Lord God, that you would take authority over this space and you would prepare hearts right now to receive you and to receive your word. And we know, Lord God, that you are a God that comes to set the captives free. And so in Jesus' mighty name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask that there would be freedom here today. I ask that people would encounter you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Woo! So I am going to be preaching and praying. I'm going to be preaching on prayer today. We're going to be talking about the power of prayer. And I want you guys to know, we're going to turn to James 5. We're going to be in James 5 today. And as you turn there, I want you to know that you guys have a reputation. Hey, turn to your Bibles, all right? James 5. You guys have a reputation of being courageous, of being a persevering church, of being a church that steps in and steps out. And I want to encourage you guys. I love your pastor. I know why you guys are so attractive and persevering and like actually believe that God will change the world through your life, because I've met your pastor, I've had coffee with your pastor, and Caleb is a legend. That was my only sadness, is that he wasn't here today. I'm like, oh, I would have really liked Caleb to have been here, because I just wanted to give that man a handshake. He's a champion. So good to be here. All right, we ready? We're going to just jump straight in. James 5. Ooh, you're in trouble today. It's going to be good. God's got some good stuff. James 5, 13. Now, feel free. Some people actually called out and answered these questions during the first service. So you feel free just to give me a bit of interaction. All right, are you ready? Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you've committed any sins, you will be forgiven. James 5, 13 to 15. You know, there's a few things I've been learning. I said that planting a church has been the hardest, best thing I've ever done. And this whole journey of moving here has been the hardest, best thing I've ever done. And it has been. And there's a few things that I've been learning about life from this passage and from my life that I'd just love to share with you guys. I think it could help. And the first thing is profound, super uplifting. You guys are going to like, whoo, come on. I have learned that life is hard and it's full of death and disease. Woo! Yeah. Hey, Caleb, make sure you invite that guy back. He's got some really good news to share with the church. Life is hard and it's full of death and disease. You can fill that out on your outline if you'd like. I am going to say some other things about life, so stay with me and keep filling out that outline. You know, I said that it's been the hardest, best thing we've ever done, coming over here and planting a church, and it really has been. When we moved over here, it's like almost from the day we moved, the enemy has just gone, I don't want you there. And I don't know about you, if you've kind of been pressing into something. Young lady, what's your name, sorry? Allison, okay. Allison, I want to encourage you, because I think this next sentence is for you. You've been pressing in to something that you feel like God's got for you, and you're just not seeing it happen as quickly as you'd like. And that has been our story since we've moved here. It has been like we have just been pressing in, but the resistance, you know what I'm talking about? Like that resistance, it's like, are you serious? It's just been so full on. 1 year into being here, so we moved from Australia, we sold our cars, we had amazing jobs, my wife just getting promotion after promotion, and we sold basically everything we owned, and we moved over here with our six-month-old son. And it was just like, we came from this like flourishing life, and we moved over here and we're like, yeah. And 1 year in, our supporting church dropped us. So we found that here we were on the other side of the world with no money and no family. Like no literal family and no spiritual family. And our number one source of groceries became food banks. Now they don't serve humble pie at food banks, like literally. But I can tell you they serve it to you figuratively. And I remember, you know, the amount of times we've stood in line in the sun to get groceries so that we can stay here and be missionaries and plant a church. Now, I want to encourage you. I'm now on staff at Mariners Church, Irvine. And the last time, so I prayed. I was holding my son. You know, life's hard sometimes. I'm holding my son and he's vomiting all over himself because he got food poisoning from some of the food that we had at the food bank. And as I held him and as he vomited and I cried out to God, I said, God, why? And one of the prayers I prayed is I said, I never want to go back to a food bank again. I was angry. And I can tell you that I've not been back to a food bank since. And that's not to say that I might not end up back at a food bank again. I'm down with it. Like God provides in all sorts of ways. But I want to tell you that life can be so hard. And it can be so challenging and that resistance can so be there. But you need to know that God is with us. He is for us. And prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. It has been the hardest, best thing I've ever done. The hardest, best thing I've ever done. To come over and to go through this. But now here we are on staff. We're seeing some great things. But life still can be quite hard. And it's full of death and disease. A friend of mine just the other day was hiking in Colorado. He tripped over, hit his head on a rock and died instantly. And the crazy thing is, he's a missionary to Afghanistan. And so it's like, what's more dangerous? Being a missionary to Afghanistan or hiking in Colorado? You know, like when you're called, you're called and you just go. And when your time's up, your time's up. Life is hard and it's full of death and disease. My own sister is going through a disease at the moment. It's called alcoholism. Crazy thing is, she sent me a Facebook message in between services, and she rarely contacts me. So I'm like, awesome. And yet, that makes it even harder to tell this story. She's like in and out of consciousness as she drinks her way through every day. She's only like 24, maybe 25. I should know that as a brother. But she's young, and we don't even know, like, this disease is trying to kill her. Life is hard, and it's full of death and disease. My own dad, he was in a wheelchair for 4 years. He was so sick that he had to use a wheelchair at times for 4 years. Life is hard. It's full of death and disease. Anyone want some good news?
Great story, bro. I quit.
Life is the best. You can write this down. Life is the best, and it's full of miracles. John 10:10, you know, the enemy comes to, what's he come to do? He comes to rob, he comes to destroy, he comes to kill. But what does Jesus come to do? He comes to give us life and life to the full. Life is the best, and it's full of miracles. You know, my dad, I mentioned my daddy was sick for 4 years. He came to a church service just like this. He was down the front. He was sitting up the back, actually. He was sitting up the back. And, right up the back. I mean, like, right up the back. And this is not a comment on you guys. It's okay, right? But he was, right up the back, the closer to the back I am, the closer to the exit I am. You know, like, I don't really want to be in church today. And so my dad is, he's sitting in church. He doesn't really want to be there. We're visiting a church. Do we have any visitors today? Come on. Yeah, I saw some hands. Saw one at the back. Today might be your day. And so he's visiting this church. And the preacher says, like I'm going to say in just a few minutes, he said, if you want prayer for healing, you come forward and get prayer. And my dad's like, yeah, how about a nice cup of no? And my mom is sitting there because my dad had been prayed for literally like hundreds of times. My parents like these missionaries in Indonesia. They have like a school and an orphanage and a hospital, and they're doing all this amazing stuff. But my dad got all these diseases. We had to leave Indonesia, and he'd been prayed for again and again because people wanted to see my parents, you know, back on in the game. And so he is there, and my mum says, get up there. Get up the front, you know. Are there any wives here like that? They're like, this is your time. Come on, I married you and I will drag you up the front. I don't know why when I get all passionate, I get a little American accent. It's like, hot diggity dog, come on. Get out of your seat. We're going to get some squirrel. That's, Mum didn't say, I don't know. I just go straight to like hillbilly southern when I try to be American, right? So my mum drags my dad up the front, and this ordinary guy likes to drive a Winnebago, hang out with his pretty ordinary wife. Don't tell him I said that. And he just reaches out, he prays for my dad, and my dad is miraculously healed like that. After 4 years and hundreds of prayers in a service he didn't even want to be in when he didn't even want prayer. But you know what? That church became their sending church back to what they're doing now. And they were visiting, and God knew that that was the time and that was the place that God wanted to get their attention at so that then they'd be sent out. Crazy thing is, I was on staff at that church for 3.5 years. That church is so profound in the life of my family, and yet at so many other churches, my dad didn't get healed. Only God knows, but I can tell you this, prayer changes things, even when we can't see it. Life is the best, and it's full of miracles. I'll tell you a couple of stories. I was, my wife and I were praying that we would be able to get $190. Why? We just had our baby, and you saw my little girl? I'm like, oh, yeah, come on. That's all my wife. She's like, she's a stunner. And so you saw her too. So our baby is born. We're going to fly to Australia. Someone for Christmas gifted us tickets to Australia to introduce everyone to our baby. While my wife's pregnant, they went, I know what this couple needs. They need to introduce that baby to the grandparents. So they gifted us tickets to fly home. So we've got the tickets. Baby comes out. That's a winner. And we are ready to go. We're ready to get on the plane, but we don't yet have the passport. And to get a passport, you have to pay money. There's a passport application fee. And it's a Saturday night. We're sitting on the end of our bed, and we have an appointment on Monday. Our flights are on Friday, but we don't have the money to pay for the appointment on the Monday. And I remember sitting there, and I was like, I said to my wife, we've got to pray. And I prayed, Lord God, we're not asking for gas money. We're not asking for grocery money. We are asking for a passport. The next morning, we woke up and we went to church. And a lady walked up to us and said, you know, I know you're going to have to get a passport for Abigail. She's like 2 weeks old. We flew when she was 3 weeks old. I know you're going to have to get a passport for Abigail. How much is that passport going to cost? And she hands us a check. Woo! All right. She hands us a check. I'm just, you know, pushing through for y'all. Y'all. She hands us a check that says for Abigail's passport, $190. Life is the best and full of miracles. My own children are miracles. So the doctor said to my wife, you have severe polycystic ovaries. You will not be able to have children, if at all. you will not be able to have children, and if you have children at all, it's going to take years. So my wife's like, cool. And then we fly to North Pole, Alaska at Christmas time to preach at a church called North Pole Worship Center, one of my favorite churches. Just, it could be straight out of a movie, but it's real. So I'm in North Pole, Alaska, and this lady, this ordinary lady, walks up to us, and she goes, I've been praying for you. I knew you were coming. I've been expecting your, you know. And as I was praying, I had like this dream, and I'm just wondering if you thought about having kids. And my wife, which if you're around for the next service, who does two services in a day? Come on. You'll meet her. She's like, yay, hi. And she goes, yeah, polycystic, she explains the diagnosis. The lady says, that's funny because in my dream you were pregnant, you were about 21 days and it was a little boy. We were pregnant, we were about 21 days. And trust me, I looked that doctor in the eye when he said, do you want to know the gender? And I said, I know the gender. And he went, one leg, two legs, three legs, it's a boy. I'm like, high five for Jesus, because God knows what's going on. Prayer changes things. Yeah, we can clap God because he is good. Life is the best and it is full of miracles. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Are any of you sick? You should call the elders to come and pray for you that you might be healed. Are any of you suffering hardship? You should pray. Are any of you happy? Come on, come on. You should probably sing praises. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Prayer changes things. Nice story, bro. Like, trust me, I've sat in your seat, right? So, I have sat in churches like this. And the preacher's preaching. He's like, well, you know, then I just looked at someone and they became a Christian. And then there was this other guy and I just breathed near him and, you know, and he got healed from his diseases that I didn't even know he had, but I have the breath. Oh, I'm a pastor. And some of you are thinking this as you sit here. You're thinking, that's great. Like, nice one. But you're a pastor. Like, that's your story. That's not my story. My name's Captain Ordinary. And prayer doesn't really change things when I pray, and I don't even know if I'm going to change. So, cool story, bro. I want to tell you something about ordinary people. Ever heard of Mother Teresa? Do you know that she said in her ministry time, oh, see how I tried to avoid that? I don't know. Sorry about that. Are we awake? She said that in her ministry time, she felt there were times where she felt like God wasn't even with her. Let me tell you something about Martin Luther King Jr. He had some insecurities. Let me tell you something about Billy Graham. Did you know Billy Graham had to learn to walk too? Let me tell you something about John the Baptist. He probably got pimples. Did you know that, like, Moses, Abraham? I mean, we all know the Apostle Paul wasn't perfect, right? But these are ordinary people. And if you've got your outline, you may have already filled it out. I'm ordinary. Yes, you are, without a touch from God. But God is extraordinary. You know, James 5:10 says to consider the prophets as examples in times of examples of patience in times of suffering. Are any of you suffering hardships? Maybe you need to pick up your Bible again and realize that God does extraordinary things with ordinary people, extraordinary things in ordinary and even hard circumstances. Let's remind ourselves of one of those circumstances. You can read about it. We're not going to read about it now, but I want to give it to you so you can sit in it later when you get home and you're in the Word. You can have a look in the book of Kings. You're going to hear about Elijah, 1 Kings 17, 18. Have a look at that. But it says here, Elijah was as human as we are. And yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. He was an ordinary man. But when he prayed earnestly, this is the thing. When we partner with an amazing God, when we say to an amazing God, I'm going to give you my ordinary and I'm going to submit it to your extraordinary because that is what you are, we will find miracles and we will find the most extraordinary things. Your ordinary, and I've written this on the outline, together we are extraordinary. You are ordinary, but with God a little extra happens and you become extraordinary. And I know that's a play on words and some of you are like, great, catchy word play, brother. But this stuff's real. Elijah was a real ordinary guy. Joshua was a real ordinary guy who prays and the sun stands still. Martin Luther King Jr. is an ordinary guy who gets a passion for change. Ordinary people come up to me all the time. They say, do you really think you can plant churches? Like, we have a vision to plant churches all over the world. And I go, yeah, I actually do. You know why? Because I'm super ordinary. Like, I'm just so ordinary, and that qualifies me for the extraordinary. Get this, this is like this. When I read this, I was so amazed. James 5, 19 to 20. My dear brothers and sisters, if someone amongst you wanders away from the truth and is brought back, you can be sure that whoever brings a sinner back from wandering will save that person from death and bring about the forgiveness of many sins. This just, when I read that, I just couldn't believe it because my first thought was blasphemy. I was like, that can't say that. That's saying that whoever brings a sinner back from wandering will save that person from death and bring about the forgiveness of many sins. I'm like, no, that's Jesus' job. Like, Jesus forgives sins, which is true. Jesus saves people from death, which is true. And if you need saving from death and from your sins, today's the day I'm telling you, like, you want to, like, say yes to Jesus because he will do that for you. But this is the cool thing. What that scripture is saying is that God uses you and I to partner with him. I'm a little excited about this. God uses you and I to partner with him to grab people, put an arm around their shoulder and say, hey, you're heading to death. Let's come to life. Hey, let's come and see your sins forgiven. Does that not blow your mind that the creator of the universe would use an ordinary person like you or I to see people come into the kingdom, to point people to Jesus? Oh my goodness, I don't know about you, but I am stoked on the grace of God that he would be so gracious and so loving to choose to use someone like me and someone like you. How good is our extraordinary God. As we close, and I'll invite the band to start coming up. As we close, I want to look in at Joshua 3. We're not actually going to, I'm not going to open it up. I'm going to paraphrase it for you. Some of you are going to be familiar with it. If you're not, jump into it. But this is what I know. I know that when we have a message like this on prayer, it can be very easy to go, that's fantastic, like I get it, I'm ordinary, God's extraordinary, but I've been praying for something and I'm not seeing answers. You guys have persevered through this step-in campaign. You've persevered through full rooms and pushed back dates. And I want you to keep what I say as we close in mind as you persevere. Because some of you, it's been persevering as a church, and some of you, it's been persevering for you as the church, and some of you have even quit praying for a certain thing because you've just not seen results. I want to encourage you as we close to persevere some more. And I got four practical things that I think could help. All right, so in Joshua 3, we see the Israelites. And they're camped on the edge of the river. And they're looking at the promises of God. They're looking at the promised land. God has promised that they are going to step into the promised land. But there's this river in between them and the promises of God, the promised land. And some of you, that's where you're at right now. You know that it's there. You were promised it. It was spoken into the depths of your heart as you sat quietly. God said, you know what? Your child is going to come back to God. You know what? You are going to encounter me. You know what? You are going to move into this building. You are like, there's promises that God has spoken into your life, and you are camped there and you are looking at what could be. You're looking at what should be. You're looking at what will be, but you're not yet there. And what we see in Joshua 3 is we see a people that are looking to God. They are looking and they can see. And some of us can see it. Can't you see it? It's like you can almost taste it. It's like, oh, it's right there. And the other thing that we then see in Joshua 3 is we see a people that look to themselves as well. A lot of us, we do this. Like, yeah, nice promises, God. Woo! Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, cool. I remember hearing of a guy in a church who was called Africa. And the pastor said, so what are you doing about it? He goes, nothing. I'm just waiting for, you know, the door to open. It's like, you're not going to learn the language? You're not going to pray for the people? You're not going to, like, do some research? He said it's going to happen. The guy was, like, in his 80s. He was called into Africa, like, decades ago. Like, bro, come on. And we see in Joshua a people that are looking to God, but they're also looking at themselves. It says in verse 5 of chapter 3, purify yourselves. This is what Joshua says. Purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders amongst you. For some of you right now, you're hearing this message and you're going, I've been looking, but what are we doing? The word says to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. Maybe now is the time for you to start fasting. Maybe you need to fast for the breakthrough. Maybe right now is a time where you need to confess. We skipped over the confession verses in this passage because Graham's going to tackle them next week and it's going to be phenomenal. But some of you might have to confess. Some of you might have to do what I did in this first service, like completely kind of shocked. And I had to come before the church and I had to confess that I've not been praying for my sister. Oh God, forgive me. I know your character and I know your nature. I know that you are not a God who is silent and inactive. I know that you are a God who moves. You are a God who answers prayer. And so I ask for forgiveness and I confess I have not been praying the way I should be praying. I know you've said that she's going to come back to you. And I don't want to just look at the promise. I want to do something about it. I want to get fierce in my prayer life. So would you forgive me, Lord God? And would you use me, Lord God? That's the kind of prayer that some of us need to pray. The third thing we see the people do as they're faced with this obstacle being this river is we see them look to the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, which represents His Word, His presence, His power. And we see the people look to that. They don't just keep their eyes on themselves. When you look at yourself, I can't cross that river. I can't do that. I can't. But you got to look straight back at God and know that He can. And the fourth thing we see the Israelites do in Joshua 3 is we see them step out. Step out. To step into the things that God's got. Some of us today, in just a moment, we're gonna worship and we're gonna pray and we're gonna receive prayer. And it's gonna be uncomfortable. But it might be the hardest, best thing you've ever done. Some of you are gonna pray like you've never prayed before. In just a moment, we're gonna worship, and some of you are gonna find yourselves on your knees saying, God, have mercy. Some of you are gonna turn to the person next to you and you're gonna say, I need prayer, and you're gonna get prayer and you're gonna get breakthrough today. But I want to encourage you today. look to God. Be reminded of the promise that He gave you. Look to yourself. What do you got to do? You got to get on a plane? You got to stand in a food bank line? What do you got to do? And I don't say that to take the credit. I give all glory to God that He has sustained us to this place. What do you got to do? And then look back to God and know that our God is a God who just does so much more than we ever even give, like we ever even give Him credit for. It's like our God is so great. Our God is so mighty. We used to sing the song as kids. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. And do we believe it? Do we live it as adults? You can tell I'm pumped up and I'm passionate. But it's because today could be your day. I've sat in those seats and I've seen miracles. I've walked the streets and I've seen miracles. Today could be your day. Could be the hardest, best thing you've ever done. But I tell you what, it's going to be worth it. Can we pray? Lord God, I know that You are on the throne. Lord God, I know that You love and You care and You pursue. And I know that we're ordinary, but You are extraordinary. And so right now I ask that we would submit our ordinary to You and You would add a little something extra. You would bring the power of the Holy Spirit. You would bring the miraculous. We would see and taste and know that the Lord is good. Give us courage to get uncomfortable right now. We're going to like pray, and we're going to worship, and we're going to pray, and we're going to worship, and we're just going to let God do His thing. But specifically right now, I ask that question, are any of you suffering hardship? And James says, pray, pray, pray. So if that's you right now, would you just lift your hand right now? You're saying like, that's me. I'm suffering hardship. Come on, there's hands going up. Like, humble yourself in the eyes of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Like, it's not an easy thing to say, yeah, life sucks right now. But God is a God who can do amazing things. Just keep your hand up because our God sees it. So right now, you're going to notice people around you are going to turn. They're going to start laying hands on you. They're going to start praying for you. Right now, like literally, as I'm still talking, people are going to put their hands. I told you we're going to get uncomfortable, right? That you don't even know the person next to you. That doesn't matter. God does. So just put your hand on them right now and just say, how can I pray for you? Just begin praying for them. We're gonna worship, and then I want to lead some others of us through prayer as well. But don't you miss the touch that God has for you right now. So press in, pray, be bold, be humble, and let's worship God. Thank you. The book of James says that if any of us are sick, we should ask for prayer, that we might be healed. I get a sense that there'd be someone here, you've got, I don't even know if this is possible, arthritis in your neck. I'm not a medical doctor, but I got it pretty clear, that you've got like pain in your neck, like arthritis in your neck. Who's that here? There's someone, there might even be a couple of people, this lady right here. So we're going to pray for this lady, and the person next to her, come on, that's like the spot for the power, right? Okay, so I've got some oil, and there's elders here, so we're gonna make sure we pray for you, okay? But if you're sick today, I want to encourage you. In just a minute, we're gonna close the service. We're gonna go out, and there's a prayer room. If you need prayer for anything, these ladies in particular, but anyone here, if you need prayer, you get prayer, right? Don't leave this premises without getting prayer for whatever you need prayer for. The next thing that the book of James says, it says in there, if any of you are happy, you should sing praises. So before we close this song, this time, where are my words? Before we close this time, we're going to sing a song, another song. And I want to encourage you, some of us actually need to kind of stir it up and say, I am happy because my God did not leave me, did not forsake me. He's faithful even when I'm faithless. So we're going to sing praises. Can we close our service in singing praises? If you still need prayer, get prayer. Then stand when you're ready. But let's ask for some miracles. I came prepared today. I'm expecting that my God is a God who is alive and active. Come on, Huntington Beach. You guys know how to step in. I know you do. So let's step in with all that we have and sing praises and pray like we've never prayed before. Thank you so much. God's going to continue to use you in the most amazing ways. Woo! It's good. Good. And isn't that true for all of us, my ordinary friends? Let's pray. Lord God, right now, would you take our ordinary and would you make something extraordinary happen in and through our lives? Your word says to equip the saints for ministry. And so I just pray that that's what I've done today, and I anoint these saints for ministry. I anoint them and I encourage them and I just lift them up before you. And I say, Lord God, would you take all of us ordinary folk? Would you be who you are, which is extraordinary? Would we pray as if prayer changes things? And would we see the miraculous in and through our lives? In Jesus' mighty name. And Huntington Beach said,
amen.
Thanks, guys.